steward these stories that you've written to help other people know and follow Jesus, that you ultimately may be praised. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, Keystone. Is that how we're going to be today? Is that how we're starting off? Good morning, Keystone. Good to see you. I'm fired up to be with you this morning and round out our series on stewardship and talk about our testimony. This week, my wife and I had an opportunity to be with two different couples over dinner or lunch and begin to interact. And as we had those meetings, as we had those conversations, we're sitting at dinner. The very first thing that came up was, tell me your story. Like, where did you guys come from? How did you meet? How did you get to Iowa? Like, all the things. Like, there was multiple questions, and all was asking, what's your story? This is something we do all the time. We connect with people all the time. We are wired for story. We're wired for story in the context that we live, and some of that's biological. So there's some neuroscience. I was looking at some research this week, and here's what one researcher said. It's when we think of our memories and our brains, we do not file stuff like storage cabinets. We file stuff in stories. Our stories are constantly we're trying to make sense of our life and tell a story. What's happening here? What's going on? Where is the story? We're wired for it in our entertainment. We love to watch a story. We love to see something unfold, like this underdog who you think could never win and there's no hope and they finally triumph. And we watch that over and over and over and over again. It's not just that we're wired for it in our biology and our entertainment, but we're wired for it socially. Story sharing is the primary mechanism of human connection. It's why when we sit over dinner or we meet someone new, we ask questions. These are the questions we ask constantly. These are on repeat in our lives. Where are you from? That's your origin story, not the Marvel origin story. They just need to make more money with a tired franchise, but that's a different story. What do you do? That's your vocation story. How did you two meet? Your relationship story. How did you end up living in Ankeny, Iowa? It's like we're constantly asking these stories, and it's how we connect with people. I promise you that most of the acquaintances you have in your life know a lot of those answers. But your close, deep friends know all of them because it's the way we connect and make human connection. And these stories are also how we build trust. Like if I tell you today, hey, there's a new restaurant on the other side of town and it's terrible. Are you likely to go to it? Absolutely not. But if I'm like, yo, a new restaurant opened up and it was the best burger I've eaten in Ankeny in 10 years, are you gonna try to check it out? Absolutely, marketers know this because our stories are how we build trust. It's how we build connection. And here's the thing, like we tell our stories all the time and we never in our life freeze up when someone says, hey, where are you from? We don't go, I'm not sure, how do I answer that? We say, how did you get in the field that you're in? You don't freeze or pause, but for some reason with the story that God has written in our life, oftentimes we don't tell it. And I don't think it's because we don't believe it. But what I do think is we often think that, oh, that's my God story, and I tell it in my connection group, and I tell it to Christians when we're reminiscing, but we don't realize that the story God has written in our life, our God story, or our testimony, has incredible power. Your testimony is a story that must be stewarded. Here's the main point today. If you want to write a note across the top of your page, this is it. Your testimony has power and authority. Not because of who you are, but because of who you are testifying about. Somebody testify. Your testimony has power and authority, not because of who you are, but because of who you are testifying about. Here's the thing. You guys know your story. You can tell your story, but I want to kind of do this is a little like experiment to see how this goes. I want to remind us of our story. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing together. I know we just sang together, but I'm going to give my modern pitch pipe. It's in my phone. Here's our key. Brian, you want to put up the words? Some of you old heads know this song. You ready? Blessed us. Jesus is mine. And oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. Some of us grew up in different churches, it's okay. Born of his spirit, sing this, washed in his blood. And this is praising my Savior all the day. We sing from different hymnals. This is my story. He is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Brother, sister, you have a story. It ain't where you're from, it ain't how you met. If you know the Lord Jesus, you have a story and you need to steward it. Let's jump into the Bible. If you got a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 11. If you don't, it's on the screen. We just preached through the book of Revelation, but there's a section here that talks about our testimony and it sets it up in the right way. It's not just an artifact of modern Christianity that we tell how we are saved or we tell stories about God. It is embedded in the way the scripture is written and how God wants us to interact. This is beginning in verse 7 of Revelation 12. And then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels also fought, but he could not prevail. And there was no place for them in heaven any longer. And so the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to the earth and his angels with him. This is the story of how Satan was removed from heaven. Like, what does this have to do with testimony? Keep reading. Verse 10 says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have now come because the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been thrown down. Verse 11, if you want to underline it, you should. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the point of death. John the Revelator in the book of Revelation brings us into this picture of a cosmic battle, and it's kind of set in a legal language or a legal metaphor. Satan and his angels, the demons, are thrown to earth from heaven onto the earth. And Satan goes about his life to deceive and to accuse all the Christians. But if you're a Christian, you know that even though he causes a lot of problems on earth, he is not victorious because he's conquered. And verse 11 tells us how he is a conquered. And see this legal language that he is accusing. He's saying, they're guilty, they're guilty. And verse 11 says this, they didn't win, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the point of death. And you see here in this passage something that as a Christian you would expect, that you would expect that we defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. Yes and amen. It's the sacrifice of Christ. It's his finished work on the cross. We talk about this all the time. We sing about it this morning, like this is good. But there's this next thing, that they conquered him by the word of their testimony. Back to our main point. Your testimony has power and authority. And if you're listening, you're like, wait, why in the world would a testimony have that much power? If you look through the scriptures, and honestly, in the ancient world and even in the modern world, the role of a witness, testimony, in the Greek is the same word. This word to witness is super important. I want to take you all the way back to Deuteronomy. You know, like the very beginning of the book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This is way back there. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 says this. It sets up the power of a witness. One witness cannot establish any iniquity or sin against a person, whatever that person has done. A fact must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. In the ancient world, certainly in the Bible, it required two witnesses. This is true of the ancient world, but it's really true of our world as well. Like, you've heard this. If you ever talked to a lawyer, you're watching a show, they're like, well, it's a he said, she said case. There's no way we could prove that. It's his word against her word. It's his word against his word. You can't prove that. And in our world, we don't have to rely solely on another witness because we have things like DNA and cameras, right? We have recordings of everything. You have when you checked in, when you checked out, our locations on our phone. Like, there's a lot of other data that can give witness. But in the world, ancient world, and even today, you have to have a witness to prove a case. And here Satan has been accusing you. You're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. And here, Jesus defeated it, but we're the ones giving testimony. The idea is that the blood of the Lamb is the power, but our testimony is proof of that claim. I'm testifying. What he said is true, and the blood of the Lamb actually happened in my life. And we've all seen, so there's power in a witness. We've all seen a show, a crime show. Some of you are hooked on real life drama because it's always like true crime is always high in the podcast world. And I don't get it. Now, I love documentaries, but you know the idea of the way this works. Sometimes there's a case against someone and the key witness is a little shady. Have you ever seen those stories? And they're like, there's no way. We can't trust this key witness. They're going to go off and get drunk, or they've been in jail. They've lied before. We can't trust our key witness. And honestly, sometimes I feel like that's us. Like, I believe in the blood of the Lamb, but I'm the key witness and I'm a little shady. I don't have it all together. I'm not perfect like Christ. And this is okay. This is okay because listen to this. I'm hoping that this gives you more encouragement than you thought about your testimony. You are not testifying alone. You are not testifying alone. John doesn't just make this point in the book of Revelation. It seems like John, this was a fascinating discovery for me this week. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, he also wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote the epistles of John, 1st and 3rd John. And it is almost like this motif or theme through all of his writing is the power of a witness. In his Gospels, he's always saying there has to be a testimony. If you got some time today, you should really go read John chapter 5 because it shows this really well. But here's the thing. When it comes to our testimony, we are not testifying alone. We are actually testifying with God himself. In John, in the Gospel of John, talks about this testimony. It's like, you're not the only one testifying. God is testifying about himself. Let me show you the Trinitarian work of testimony in the Godhead. This is the Father. It's not that we're only ones testifying about Jesus. The Father is too, John 5:37. The Father who sent me has himself testified about me. You have not heard his voice at any time, and you have not seen his form, but the Father in creation in a million other ways is testifying about who Jesus is. Jesus, the Son, actually testifies about himself as well. This is John 8:14. Even if I testify about myself, Jesus replied, my testimony is true because I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you know where I came from, but you don't know, I would mess up the verse, but you don't know where I come from or where I'm going. John 8:17, we see that the Father and the Son are both testifying about the power of Jesus. This is John 8:17. Even in your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me as well. So there's this reality that the Godhead is constantly giving testimony about the work and the power of Christ. And the Spirit joins in the band. This is John 15:26. And when the counselor comes, it's John's word for the Holy Spirit. When the counselor comes, the one I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, what does he do? He will testify about me. God uses the Spirit to give testimony to the power and the work of Christ. And it's not just the Godhead. The scriptures themselves are giving testimony to God. This is John 5:39. You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, and yet they testify about me. This is written to the Pharisees who were trying to prove their worth by following every word of the Bible, and they weren't trusting Christ. And he's like, the scriptures you're trying to follow are actually giving testimony about me. God is the key witness in this trial. He's not shady. He doesn't drop the ball. His word can be trustworthy and true. But then the reality is that we also can testify in the power of God. John 15:26, it starts with the Spirit, but look how it transfers onto us, and we are now responsible to testify. I'm gonna read verse 26 again. And when the counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. But listen to verse 27. And you also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning. He's writing to the disciples, and this idea is like, God is the key witness in the Godhead and through the scriptures, but there's a moment where he empowers us to join in, to be a corroborating witness, and for us to give a testimony of ourselves. And it's not just even of our own strength. Here in verse 26 and 27, he's like, you're gonna be empowered to do this by the Spirit. Acts 1:8, like doubles down on this. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will give testimony in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Listen, brother, sister, when you testify, you are not testifying alone like you're this one key witness that if you mess it up, God's story is gonna be messed up. You are the last link in the chain representing. I wanna show you this picture. This is a picture of an iceberg. Some of you know the stories of icebergs is that they're way bigger under the water than they are above the water. And I want to show you this, that when we talk about our testimony, you need to know this. You're not testifying alone. For us, the only thing that we do when we tell the story of God in our lives is what people see, but it is built on something so much bigger. The Spirit is testifying. Jesus has testified. The Father has testified. The scriptures are testifying. And all we're doing is what's above the water, representing our place and time in the world, saying, this is what Jesus did in my life. We're giving testimony. Your testimony has power and authority, not because of who you are and not because of the exact way you say it, but it's based on who you are testifying about. Many of us are so afraid to tell our God stories because we think we're gonna mess it up. I don't know. And what I'm trying to do is encourage you, give you theological courage to say, when you give testimony, you're not on by yourself. God is underneath you. He is the source, and he is carrying the weight of your testimony, and he is with you. You are not alone when you're testifying about God. Let's move to the next point. Know your testimony. This is where we're gonna start getting really practical as we try to step into stewarding our testimony. There's this beautiful story, or like this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's this beautiful story. If you've been around the Bible, you've heard it. This is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. It says, when your sons ask you in the future. God's just done some amazing things. The wilderness, crossing the Red Sea, inhabiting the new land. He has done an incredible work. And it says, when your sons ask in the future, what is the meaning of the decrees and statutes and ordinances the Lord has God has commanded you? It's like, why would you even do what you're doing in your life? Verse 21, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand. Before our eyes, the Lord inflicted great and devastating signs and wonders on Egypt, on Pharaoh, and on all of his household. But he brought us from there in order to lead us and give us the land that he swore to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to follow all of these statutes and to fear the Lord our God for our prosperity always and for our preservation as it is today. God here is giving a command for the people of Israel to tell their story. Like, hey, there's going to be some people ask, why do you follow God that way? And they're like, you need to tell the story. You need to give a testimony of what's going on. There should be moments, brothers and sisters, when people ask your story. And you should be ready to tell them even when they don't ask. Here, the people are going to ask, like, why do you go to church on Sunday morning? Let me tell you. Why is that an important thing for you? Let me tell you. Your kids are going to ask you, why do we go to church? Why do we have to go to church this morning? Your kids are going to ask you, why do you put money towards the church? Your kids are going to ask you, why don't you speak like everyone else speaks? Why don't you drink like everybody else drinks? Your friends, they're going to ask you those things. And it's an opportunity for you to step in and tell your story. Know your story. I want to give you two levels of story, because when I say, what's your testimony, what we mostly mean is, what is your testimony of salvation? When did you go from death to life? What was your life like before Jesus? You encountered him, and then you met, like, what has changed in your life? It's the testimony of our salvation. I'm certainly talking about that. But let me tell you what else I'm talking about. I'm talking about the testimony of God working in your everyday life. Sometimes we just want to tell the big, grand, like, huge story of coming to salvation, but you have incredible stories of God's faithfulness all over your life. Like, I was really stressed at the beginning of the day. I really sought the Lord, and he answered me. Like, there's a million ways that you could tell these stories. We have a testimony of salvation, but we also have hundreds of little testimonies. Now, if you ask me, well, to go, hey, Brent, tell your testimony. Tell us your God story. By nature, I'm going to say, you need to pack a lunch because we're going to be here for a minute. Like, most of us, if we think of our God story, especially the older we get in life, there's so many hills and valleys. There's so many things God has done. That was decades ago, I remember. Like, we have a 1 to 3 hour story. How many of you know that part of your story, right? Like, it's the long part. But what's interesting here is, in this Deuteronomy 6, he tells the story of God and the people of Israel in 3 sentences. I counted it. If you wanted to hear the full story, you need to start at the end of Genesis, read all of Exodus, all of Leviticus, Numbers, even, so the whole Pentateuch, as we call it, the first 5 books of the Bible, even into Joshua. And here he simplifies it into 3 sentences. I think you should know your long story, but I'm encouraging you, know the short story. I want to give you a tool here. I'll put this on the screen, Ryan. Your testimony. There's really 3 parts. This is going to be your homework when you leave today, by the way. There's a QR code that gives you anything good at Keystone, and you're going to hit it and download this. 3 parts, really 4. Number 1, who were you before Christ? There was a time in my life when I was blank. Then, when you met Jesus, but then I found and believed the gospel, and I experienced God's, and you fill in the blank. Then, after that, now I experience, or now I am blank. Let me tell you my story. Because I'm telling you, if you want my full story, you better pack a lunch. There's some twists and turns, some incredible victories, and some incredible lows. But let me tell you my story in 3 sentences. There was a time in my life when I was hurt, alone, and doing everything I could to destroy my life. But Jesus came and found me and showed me that not only can he forgive and accept, but he is with me and he'll never leave. Now, I walk in freedom, always accepted and confident in the abundant life that he gives me. If you know my story, that is 1,000,000% true. It's just in 3 sentences. I think one of the reasons that most of us don't tell our stories, you're like, hey, what's your story? It's complicated. We don't have enough time to get into the details. My question to you is, do you have a short version of your story? And not only like your testimony, but do you have like short stories? Like, there was a time when me and my wife were really frustrated at each other, but we had to learn to forgive. And now that's not as big of a problem anymore. There was a time when I was super angry at my children. And then I had to really give it to God and realize that I am act just as foolish as them sometimes. And now I give them much more grace. There was a time, like, do you see how this can be, like, be put over a million things in your life? Once you notice this pattern before, when you met God or when you saw his truth and how he's been faithful since, this is a story you can tell over and over and over. You got to know your story. I'm going to encourage you as we leave this place to know your story. But then if you know your story, you need to, this is the next point, tell your story to yourself and to others. Tell your story to yourself and others. Let's start with yourself. This is really important. So this is back to Revelation 12, verse 9. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan. And watch this, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown into earth and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have now come because, listen, the accuser of our brothers and sister who accuses them before our God day and night has been thrown down. Let me tell you something that's true in your life. The devil is constantly trying to deceive you and the devil is constantly making accusations against you. Constantly. And one of the ways that we can yield our stories is to tell your story of the faithfulness of God. God, you did change me. I did used to be that way that Satan says. I used to be that, but that's not who I am anymore. And there's moments in our lives where we have to preach the gospel to ourselves and we can look back on our stories and remember who we are. But you don't just teach it to yourself. You need to preach it to others. This is what most of us are used to. Most of us are used to saying, share your testimony. I love this story in John 4. This is the woman at the well. How she gives testimony to Christ. Look at what happens in John 4. And now many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified. John uses this word all the time. He told me everything I did, ever did. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him, Jesus, to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days. Many more believed because of what he said. And they told the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, since you have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world. I love this passage because often we think we are alone, just like the woman. She comes and says, I want to give testimony about a man who told me of everything I ever did. I want to give testimony of this Jesus because he knew who I was and he wants to forgive me and give me eternal life is what he's saying, eternal water, right? She's telling this story. And most of us think that's where we stop and it's our power in that moment to do all the things that God wants to do. But listen to what happens. People believed because of the testimony of Jesus. And most of the time in our lives, we just need to step up and stand and say, listen, I want to tell you a story about a man who changed me. And then what's beautiful, remember the iceberg story, the iceberg? Then it's not Jesus in our world. It's not the physical Jesus, but it is the Spirit of God who then begins to testify and convict and bring truth into their lives. There's this beautiful reality that when we stop and tell our story, the Spirit, the Godhead is with us. And it comes in and it testifies to even what we are testifying about. We don't have Jesus, but we have the Spirit. Look, I want us to read it again. John 15, 26. And when the counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. You will also testify because you have been with me from the beginning. For some reason, a way that I don't always understand, some of the biggest guilt and shame in the church is we know that we should talk more about Jesus, but we don't. We just don't. We're the woman at the well who is getting radically saved from serious sin, and then we just keep it to ourselves. And what I'm trying to say to you is, here when the woman spoke, Jesus is the one who actually did the work. And John 15, 26, we don't have Jesus, but we do have the Spirit who is constantly testifying. Your job is to stand up and speak up. It's the Spirit's job to come in and give testimony as well. You know this scene, like it feels like I've seen it in a million movies. It's a little kid who finally has the courage to stand up to this big, ugly bully. And he's like a little twerp, right? And then there's this bully who's really big. And he's like, I'm gonna stand up. And then all of a sudden, the bully kind of begins to back down, and the little guy thinks that it was his power that did it. But when the camera zooms out, there was someone behind him that was all the power. That's what's happening when we give our testimony. Yeah, we're scared, but we're stepping up and we're speaking up, and the Spirit of God is coming behind us to do all the conviction, all the transformation in people's lives. Take courage. You got to stand up and speak up. God has your back. We need to steward our testimonies. Steward your testimony. This is 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. This is the number one passage when it comes to apologetics, or let's... what we think of is like a defending of the faith, defending of why Jesus says he is, like all those things. Listen, apologetics is good, but I want to couch this back into the language that John is using. John is using constantly accusation and testimony. You have to have two witnesses, and here God's witnessing and we're witnessing. When it comes into witness language, your testimony is a defense. It's a defense strategy against the enemy. Be prepared. But you don't have to be prepared to answer every question anyone ever has. I cannot explain to you the number of times I've presented the gospel and someone says, but what about the dinosaurs? Like it's like this final excuse of I'm under convictions, but here's something I don't understand. You're not gonna have that answer. Why is evil in the world if God is so good? There's some really theological and philosophical reasons we can argue, but you're not going to always be able to answer everybody every time. But can I tell you something? What you can do with everything, every person who comes at you with questions, is you can give a testimony. This is John chapter 9. Again, notice it's in John of the testimony. John chapter 9 is this blind man. He's healed on the Sabbath. The Pharisees are losing their mind and asking a lot of theological questions. In John 9:25, I hope you're encouraged by this. He answered them. Whether or not he's a sinner, speaking of Jesus, I don't know. I don't know how to answer all your questions. Listen to this. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. That's kind of like your three-sentence testimony. You don't have to tell everything and everybody, I was blind, but now I see. Here, listen to this. No one can argue with your testimony. No one can argue with, all I know is I used to be bound in sin and shame and frustration and felt distant from God, and he saved me. No one can argue that testimony. Your testimony has power and authority, not because of who you are, but because of who you are testifying about. Let me give you a few more things and we're done. Let me talk about an obstacle. Don't compare. Don't compare. Some of you don't tell your story because it's not some epic story of you sinning like a horrible person and then you had this radical encounter with God and everything's changed. Some of you are really good kids and you got saved really young and that's not your story. Listen, you don't decide the power of your story. You decide when you speak because it's your testimony of what God did. Whether you were a perfect little angel, God bless you, because some of us weren't. Or you were a hellion. Why would you compare? Some of you are not speaking out because you don't have some epic story. Praise God that he didn't let you have some of that destruction in your life. Tell that story. Let me give you some encouragement. Don't just tell your story of salvation. Tell the story of God's faithfulness in every part of your life. Whether it's how God took you from really angry this morning and how he gave you joy back, or a season of life. Some of you older brothers and sisters, mentor younger people. mentor them because they are going through issues that they can't imagine God's gonna be faithful, and you've got 15 stories of how God is faithful in that situation. Tell your story. Let me give you a threat. Your testimony has power, and some will not like it. Just be honest. In America, very few people are gonna be hurt, but sometimes they'll stop talking to you. That's really the risk of sharing your faith in America. That's it. There is a threat though. Not everyone's gonna love it. I'm gonna give you an opportunity and an assignment. Your opportunity is this: tell your story to the church. If you know Jesus and you have never been baptized, baptism is a way to tell your story to the church. It's an ordinance of the church. I would deeply encourage you. There's on the QR code, there's signups for baptisms. You should tell your story. You can read 3 sentences. You don't have to tell the whole story. Be baptized. Publicly tell your story. And then I want to give you an assignment. I want you to work on that sheet called your testimony. I wish we were still in connection groups because we could work on it together. But you should tell your story. Here's what's crazy, and all this is going to wrap this way. There are tens to hundreds of people who know your origin story. They know your career story. They know your story of your hobby. They know the story of how you and your wife met, but they don't know the most powerful story that has categorically changed your life, both here and in all eternity. Brothers and sisters, your story has authority and power, not because of you, but because of who it's testifying about. Steward it. Tell the story of God in your life. Would you bow with me? God, we have a story. Most of us in this room have a story, and it's how you saved us and you changed us, and we have a million mini stories of how your faithfulness has met us in the middle of just the chaos of life. And I pray, God, that this room would sense an empowerment today to testify, not because they're great, but because they're being faithful to communicate the story. And we can overcome the enemy. But for some of you, you're new to this Christian thing, or you've been hanging around church, but you do not have a story where you were once away from God and now you are with God because of what Christ has done. You have been like standing on the edge, wondering if you can trust him. And I'm here to tell you today, I'm testifying as a kid who ran from God, should have known better. He can save you. No matter what mess you've made of your life, no matter what destruction you've made of your life, he is willing and ready to receive you today. So if you don't have a story of God saving you, I'm begging you to run to the front of this room at the end of this service and say, I want that story. God, we come in this place. And for those who don't have the story of salvation, I pray, God, that you would do a work in their lives today, that they would see the blood of the Lamb and believe and trust in you today. But for those of us who know that, help us to steward our stories. Steward the testimony you've given us, empowered by your Spirit, boldly telling your faithfulness to those around us. In Christ's name I pray, amen.